Today on Vox Talks Economics, did the Me Too movement influence the way economists collaborate? Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics. So remember, subscribe, follow us on Instagram as well. The Me Too movement inspired many professions, and hopefully the men who work in those professions, to reflect on whether female colleagues were treated fairly. Now, as a result, some employers attempted to create a more equitable work environment, and not least economics, which had its own highly visible and occasionally controversial Me Too moment. A new discussion paper from the CPR analyses whether we can track the impact of Me Too in economics through co-authorship. Elisa Faralia, Chrissy Yanitsaruo, and Noriko Amanopatino are the authors, all from the University of Cambridge. They all join me now. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics, all of you.
Hello. Hi, team.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having us.
Chrissy, remind us all when and how Me Too began.
Well, we go back to late 2017, really. The Me Too movement gained momentum around the world around that time in October 2017, following the investigation of the New York Times, which led to reports of sexual abuse by film producer Harvey Weinstein. Now, these were events that were specific to the film industry, of course, but they raised awareness about the sexual harassment and abuse of women in the workplace. And now, you know, its legacy includes advocating for gender equity, legal reforms to support victims, policies to improve the environment for women in workplaces.
The movie business, it's pretty different to academic economics. But Noriko, how did Me Too apply to economics? How did that manifest?
In 2018, economists faced their own Me Too movement with evidence of a discriminatory and harassment culture. There were many high-profile cases from the academic world of economics, which actually made headlines reaching even news media like the New York Times. The American Economic Association responded by discussing these issues in their annual meeting in January 2019. And from this discussion, the American Economic Association moved to establish processes to handle complaints. And since then, it has produced several reports on the professional climate in economics. And then other economics associations followed on these steps. However, despite these efforts, the resurgence of Me Too-related discussions in late 2022 indicated that the problems actually have persisted. So the issue hasn't gone away, and there is a lot to do to make sure everyone in economics feels safe and respected.
Elisa, this is partly to do with the fact that economics is pretty male, isn't it? How male-dominated was it? Is it?
You are right, Tim. So economics has long been a very dominated field. And unfortunately, it still is, even though actually we have some positive trends. Perhaps we are not like engineering or mathematics, but for sure, certainly a lot more dominated than other social sciences. We have even anecdotal evidence that there are some, at least in the past or in the recent times, economics or finance departments that were only composed by men. However, the recent reports of the status of women in economics of the major economic associations like the American Economic Association, the European Economic Association, and in the UK, the Royal Economic Society, have reported some really encouraging trends. For example, let's start from the UK, that is the closest actually to our experience. Over the past decade, there has been notable progress, as I said. If we compare the last 10 years, so let's take 2012 compared to 2022, female representation in UK economic department has grown from less than 25% in 2012 to nearly 30%. So we can actually say this is really good news. we actually see an heterogeneous effect at different seniorities. For example, if we look at the junior and mid-careers, these have shown the strongest increases. So junior position has increased around 6 percentage points, mid-careers around 7 percentage points. Unfortunately, the gains were lower for professors, where the increase was only around 4 percentage points. So if we look in terms of career perspective, despite all these gains, women still hold less than 20% of the professorial positions. This is what has been called the leaky pipeline that shows ongoing gender disparities at the higher levels. In the US, if we look around 2021, the situation was that the women held only 23% of the tenure track and only 15% of the senior positions. Europe is a little bit better than UK and the US, where women occupied 30% of all academic positions and actually a little more than 24% of senior roles.
One of the encouraging and creative things that I remember from this Me Too moment in economics was that female economists felt that they were able to speak up about their experiences, often to the surprise of their male colleagues. Chrissy, these problems that were identified as part of Me Too, is this something that you related to?
Well, absolutely. I think that every economist, regardless of their gender and seniority, can relate in some ways to these issues, maybe different ways depending on where they come from and who they are. But I think a lot of us had a lot of experiences in the past and have been affected one way or another by particular events. I'm going to bring up something that maybe for some older economists sounds very familiar and is a little bit on the lighter end. For instance, when I was on the job market about 20 years ago when I finished my PhD, the procedures for doing the job market were quite different to how it's done now, not necessarily in a good way. I mean, we've had, for example, the first round of interviews that would take place in hotel rooms during the annual meetings of the Allied Social Sciences Association. And we had candidates often being interviewed, basically sitting at the edge of a bed with a single interviewer in a room. And at the time, this was a practice that was considered completely normal. But if you think about it, it can make somebody extremely uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And all three of us had had such experiences in the job market. And of course, this is a very mild and perhaps less important story of how this kind of Me Too events can manifest. But gladly, you know, thanks today to the pressures and awareness that the Me Too brought about, the job market process is very different. It has evolved. Now there's a very clear set of guidelines about how this should be done. And there are very supportive mechanisms in place to protect and support all the candidates during the process of the job market. And this is the kind of shift that is an example of how the movement initiated real tangible changes in the professional environment and improved how we do things.
It is always important to remember, isn't it, that things were not always as they are when they have improved, and that there are some things that when they change, everybody immediately thinks, why on earth were they like that but were accepted?
Exactly. Yeah. Precisely that thought.
Yeah. Norika, it's hard to say that the Me Too moment is over, but it isn't quite so visible now. Has it left a legacy? Has it permanently changed economics? Or do you think that it's mostly visible now in people's good intentions? How much has actually changed in the institutions?
Well, the movement definitely raised awareness in the profession. So it sparked a significant shift towards more awareness and more action against harassment and misconduct. And key professional bodies, including the European Economic Association, the Royal Economic Association, and the American Economic Association, have all stepped up. They've all established clear guidelines on what is acceptable behavior and how to handle misconduct in cases when it arises. And universities and institutions have also followed suit, and they've put in place well-defined and clear policies to tackle these issues. If we're looking at the introduction of policies and guidelines as a measure, then yes, the Me Too has really brought about institutional changes within our field. But to truly answer your question, we need to agree on what is a metric of success. Is it the number of policies that have been put in place across institutions? The reduction of cases of harassment and misconduct in economics? Is it actually about more accountability for wrongdoers? Or perhaps a broader shift towards a healthier professional environment? Honestly, to tackle all these different potential metrics, it's probably too early to declare victory. And we definitely have more work to do to maintain and build upon the gains that we have made.
In the immediate aftermath of that Me Too moment in economics, CEPR published a book that examined the barriers that women face in the profession and suggested ways to support the next generation of female economists. We interviewed the report's editors in our episode, Women in Economics, first published on 6th of March, 2020.
So today we're looking at one particular aspect of the legacy of Me Too. You analysed co-authorship before and after. Why is this a good indicator? Why should we be looking for this?
As you can see, papers mostly nowadays are co-authored. So we live in a collaborative environment, scientific environment. So analyzing co-authorship patterns before and after the Me Too movement is a valuable proxy to understand what is the impact of economic collaborations. So ideally, in a perfect world, we would examine a scenario where a subset of economists is randomly exposed to the Me Too movement while another remains completely unaware of it. Mm-hmm. This would allow us to directly measure the movement's effects. Unfortunately, this is absolutely not feasible. So what is feasible? The feasible alternative is observing shifts in co-authorship patterns pre and post the movement. This method allows us to infer changes in collaborative behavior, particularly regarding gender dynamic and especially also seniority interactions that are actually really, really important. So comparing data from periods that are before and after the Me Too movement emergence.
And to do this, you're looking at working papers from the MBER and our CEPR working papers as well. Why did you focus on the working papers, not the papers published in journals?
Well, this is because in economics, our common practice is to disseminate research through working papers initially. Mm. There's a long process of producing research, and somewhere at the very end is the peer-reviewed journal. But initially, working papers have a structure of fully developed peer-reviewed papers, but can come out quickly and report early stage results of projects. So if we want to have a measure of contemporaneous productivity, collaboration, research in a span of time that is short in front of us, working papers seem to be a good way to do this. Sometimes even for working papers, it takes a lot of time, months, maybe even years, to get to a point of being able to submit a working paper in these outlets. But it's definitely a shorter time horizon than getting to the peer-reviewed journal that can take quite a long time from inception to actual publication.
Clearly, I'm biased on this because on Vox Talks Economics, we talk about new research, and so we almost exclusively talk about working papers for exactly that reason. Now, look at your priors for this, though. Why, hypothetically, might there be a positive impact from Me Too on co-authorship?
Hypothetically, the Me Too movement could have a positive impact within the economics profession by promoting a more respectful and inclusive environment. For example, it could raise the awareness of the negative dynamics that can develop when working with certain people. And this awareness could give those who face harassment or even worse the courage to speak up and walk away from bad situations, especially if they believe they won't wreck their careers, right? Mm. And that's more likely to happen if universities and the whole academic community step up, taking a stand against harassment and violence. So the Me Too movement has the potential to make working together not just safer, but also more productive for everyone if it leads to more support in their environment.
Now, Rico, is there a potential for a negative impact as well?
Yes, that's certainly possible. So in many fields, not just economics, there's this worry among some senior people that they might get wrongly accused of something by junior women.
Okay.
And if that kind of fear takes hold in our profession, then the senior men might choose to decrease their collaborations with junior women. And that's a real problem because collaboration is a key piece of academic research. Not only does it facilitate the exchange of ideas, knowledge, and methodologies, but also fosters intergenerational connections. Senior colleagues have a ton of wisdom to share, not to mention the networks they can help you tap into. So if these collaborations start to dry up, it's the junior woman who'll feel the pinch the most. It could slow down their careers, make the field even less balanced than it already is, and really put a dent on how diverse and welcoming economics is as a profession.
Absolutely. Now, from what you're saying here, you have this huge database of thousands of papers. You also need to know quite a bit about the authors as well. What information about the authors did you manage to capture?
So you're right, Tim. We have quite a large data set that has been quite painful to put together. So let me give you some statistics. So our data set consists around over 20,000 working papers, as we mentioned, from NBR and CPR. So these are written by about 18,000 authors that in the time period spans a little less than 20 years. We have hand-collected information about these authors in each paper from available resources online. You cannot imagine how much there is online, you know, of our personal life, or economists' the personal life. So we take our research website, CVs, LinkedIn, and these kind of resources. Also departmental web pages. So, for example, we have collected the year of the PhD graduation, the position and the affiliation at the time when actually you have submitted your working paper. So this also helps us to classify your seniority. We have identified the gender by first names or by pictures. And all this information, such as institution, where they have obtained also PhD from, is available. And also we collect also the primary research fields. Using the co-authorship of these papers, then we also recover the information of the number of co-authors each author has over our sample period, as well as we construct also some characteristics of the co-authorship network.
Also, you have to have a before and an after, so that means you have to date the start of Me Too. How on earth do you manage to do that?
Indeed, yes, this is true, and this is really not a straightforward exercise.
No.
Here we had to use a bit of judgment and also our own experiences with writing papers to decide what is a good start date for Me Too and eventually to understand the potential effects on research output. So our reasoning when we were working on this was that in economics it can take up to several months, even occasionally years, I mentioned this already, from inception of an idea to having an actual paper. And one of the repositories that we're looking at, CPR and NBR. So with this in mind, we started with a benchmark of taking July 2018 as a start date, quote unquote, of Me Too, allowing for a period of about 6 to 9 months after the events of Harvey Weinstein for the first post-Me Too papers to be written, let's say. Mm-hmm. Now, because obviously this is a date that is very approximate, is by nature approximate, we did an extensive sensitivity analysis considering different start dates to be as early as January 18 and as late as December 2019. And gladly, our main results seem to be consistent across these different start dates, reinforcing the robustness of our findings. But indeed, the Me Too date is much, much trickier than, say, if we looked at something like the COVID pandemic that was very sharply defined by March 2020.
So let's have a look at the results then. Noriko, after Me Too, was there an increase in the proportion of output that had both male and female authors?
Yes. Ha. This is exactly what we find, and is far from what we anticipated when we started working on this.
Mm.
What we find is that collaborations across genders increased after Me Too. We estimate an overall 14% increase in the share of women co-authors compare 100 men-authored papers, which is quite a significant jump. And when looking more closely within junior economists, the share of junior women co-authors per 100 junior men-authored papers increased by an even larger 55%. Then for senior economists, the share of senior women increased by 23% per 100 senior men-authored papers. So overall, these findings suggest a big change in the gender dynamics of co-authorship in the economics profession since Me Too.
Now, was this a change in collaboration amongst existing authorship networks? Because people tend to write papers with the same group of authors that they know well. Or did it lead to people seeking out new co-authors?
That's a very good question. Indeed, you're right that the collaboration networks start and then continue, and co-authors seem to stick with each other often. And indeed, our evidence suggests that the increases that Noriko was mentioning before across gender are mostly attributed to existing co-authorship networks. If we take our analysis and focus on shares of new co-authorships only, new co-authorships, we find that post-Me Too, there's actually a general drop in new co-authorships. So the share of new co-authorships across all genders and papers has dropped by 6%, meaning that there's less new co-authorships developed, initiated after the date of Me Too. If we take specific subgroupings of this, looking at new co-authorships between senior and junior authors, these are especially sizable, these drops. They're between 17 and 26%, in fact. So yes, your insight is absolutely spot on there.
Well, yes, we did mention earlier that perhaps there might be a reluctance from senior male economists in the wake of Me Too to work with junior female economists. We know that economics in the early stages of an academic career can be particularly difficult for female economists. Did you find that senior authors were working less than with junior female economists?
Yes, we do find that, in fact. We were hoping to maybe see something different, but junior women authors write less with senior men authors post-Me Too. If we want to put down a number, these shares seem to have decreased by about 26%. What is really stark is a result of 37% drop in the share of new junior women co-authors by senior authors overall. These are findings that highlight a significant decline in new collaborations between senior and junior researchers overall, not just between junior women and senior men necessarily. And this has long-run implications potentially for the professional development and mentorship opportunities for junior academics, especially junior women in the field.
I suppose that there is one potential explanation for this, because, of course, just after this explosion of Me Too energy, immediately we get COVID and economists across the board drop what they're doing. They have to go home and work and don't meet and don't mix socially and sort of conferences or in the workplace. They've also changed the focus of the research in many cases. Did this have an impact on the dimensions of co-authorship that you're measuring?
We know that fortunately our data set allows us to factor in the COVID shock on co-authorships. Our data confirm what many actually have suspected. During the early stages of the pandemic, there has been a drop of co-authorship between men and women. This drop is likely to be driven by a decline in productivity of women economists, particularly junior women and mid-career economists in general, who has faced, as all of us, I think, increased challenges during the pandemic. So this challenge, I don't have to remind actually people what actually they were. So from balancing professional responsibilities, teaching online, and trying actually also to have increased caregiving duties, reduce access also to resources. So overall, there was a really big disruption of the traditional work environment and collaborations. So bottom line, unfortunately, what we find is that the pandemic has reversed some of the positive trends in co-authorship patterns that we have actually found post-Me Too.
We did find out a lot about how the burden of lockdown fell differently on men and women. Well, I'm saying we found out a lot. I've got a feeling that there are very many people knew that already.
Yes, absolutely.
The three of you might have suspected that already.
Yes.
So, Chrissy, put this together for us. Compare the situation that we've got today with the situation before Me Too. How far, based on your research, do you think we've come?
We can offer some good news and some bad news. Mm-hmm. It's not the common way to do this, but I'll start with the good news that we have on the one hand that we can say that Me Too movement is associated with good, sizable shifts within the economic profession, highlighting the increase in collaboration between men and women, which is a very good outcome. We consider it good news because it seems that there is a growing recognition of the value of diverse collaborations in our field and the impact of that on research. Not so good news, and on the other hand, argument is the findings that we have that suggest that we have a decrease in collaborations outside of existing networks, especially among senior scholars. And this is particularly stark when it comes to collaborations with the junior women, which can indicate basically a setback in the progress that we have done. On top of all of this, we just talked about it, came pandemic that introduced another layer of complexities and reversed some of the good positive trends of the Me Too movement. So in terms of overall progress, I would say that there has been some, but not as much as we would have hoped for, precisely because of the setbacks that came with the pandemic. Disproportionate decline in productivity of specific groups within our profession, women, mid-career economists, young economists with children, etc.
Elisa, as Chrissy says, it is concerning, and it is something that we may continue to see the effects of in the future, in years to come. But how can we fix it? We can't force people to collaborate. We can encourage them to collaborate. We can't force them to do it. What do you think would be the most effective way to build on those gains, stop the backsliding, minimize those areas of concern?
The most important thing is actually to create an environment where every author, every co-author, regardless if you are male, female, if what is actually your seniority, you feel safe and respected, mm-hmm. and you want to be engaging in a productive collaboration. Current incentives, initiatives, so we can actually think about the mentoring scheme or the safer reporting mechanism that have been put in place are all really positive steps that are going in the right direction. So all this effort have a single aim, that is to nurture a culture of collaboration and also of inclusivity that is really important. Most importantly, they also been endorsed by individual departments. We can actually say also by ours and by a lot of UK departments and also by international economic associations. The goal, let's remember, is to create a research environment where collaboration is not just encouraged, but is a natural outcome of an inclusive and supportive and respected academic culture. Co-authorship should be determined by different things like common interests. So we wanted to have an inspiring and important question to answer. We wanted to find the complementary skills across the different co-authors. So maybe we have to go back and think about why we have we chosen this particular profession in the first place. That is because actually research, apart all actually that we wanted to change the world or actually to understand the world, to be honest, is also really, really fun.
It's a fascinating and incredibly important piece of work. Thank you, all three of you, for talking to me about it today.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The paper is discussion paper 18969 at CPR. It is called Economics Co-authorships in the Aftermath of Me Too.
This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. If you liked this episode, then rate and review us so others can listen to it too.